Let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for the things that you've already shared to us through your people, through the time that we've had to worship you, praise you, Lord. We thank you for your word, the way that you speak to us. Thank you for your people, how you use them in our lives, Lord. We ask that this morning as we open up Daniel chapter 5, that you would use that in our lives to teach us about yourself, to teach us about what you want and desire from us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you hopefully remember, we are going through the book of Daniel. And our study today brings us to Daniel chapter 5. As a reminder, our key verse or passage for this study through the book of Daniel is Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, which tells us, "The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills and sets over it the lowliest of men." So our point, the point of this study is to remind one another, to encourage one another, that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. So no matter what the political, social, economic, religious circumstances are around you, what they look like, he is in charge, and nothing happens without his hand allowing it or guiding it. That should be an encouragement to us. We see this on display in the life of Belshazzar here in chapter 5 of Daniel. Let's start by reading through the entire chapter. Just bear with me as I read through the chapter. I think it's important to have the context of the story we're going to be talking about. And as we go through reading it, remember to look for places where we see the Most High ruling in the kingdom of men. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. "King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. And Belshazzar, when he had tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines, drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, wood, and stone. And immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed, and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring the enchanters and the Chaldeans and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, 'Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.' Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his color changed, and his lords were perplexed. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, 'O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.' Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. I have heard of you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gift be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whomever he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drank wine from them and have praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, nor hear, nor know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all of your ways you have not honored. Then from his presence this hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter, Mene. God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple, a chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made that he would be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Okay, so with that story firmly in our minds, or at least recently in our minds, let's kind of go through it. Step through the story, see if we can draw some conclusions, some understanding about what's going on here and why this is given to us in Scripture. But before we do that, I want to make one very important caveat or set a ground rule, okay? Here at Household of Faith, we believe that the 66 books of the Old and New Testament are holy, inspired of God, authoritative, free from error, and final, and the final authority in doctrine and practice. Okay? I bring that up because there are those who would look to outside sources to establish the validity or the reality, the truth of what's given to us in Scripture. And for centuries, they would look at Daniel chapter 5 and look at the historical data, and there was no mention of a king Belshazzar, who was the king at the time when Babylon was destroyed. And they would use that to say this story was a myth, a legend, untrue, and therefore erode the entire foundation of the truth of Scripture. And I have no desire or interest or time to dig into the reality of Belshazzar, or when he was king, or all of the things that have been found recently, and when I say recently, I mean within the last 100 years, we've had an incredible amount of archaeological evidence, proof come forward that shows that Scripture is real. We're not going to get into that because we are going to start from the baseline of God's Word is true, regardless of what the outside sources seem to say, regardless of what the Most High has allowed us or not allowed us to find through outside sources. This is the authoritative source that we use for every decision that we make in our lives. And it's the authoritative source for everything that we teach from this pulpit. So that's the baseline. That's the starting point, okay? We're going to believe that God's word is God's word. Okay. So with that baseline set, let's kind of dig into this story. So the story starts with this great party going on, right? Belshazzar, and it's a little odd if you want to look into the history of it. Probably shouldn't be having a party at this time. I mean, we find out at the end of the chapter that his city was sacked. I don't think that entire Medo-Persian army, that they showed up right during that party and happened to be able to do what they did to divert the water and get in the city, right? That didn't happen just during this party, right? So he's probably flaunting his great Babylon in front of the armies of the Medes and Persians. And he's throwing this big party. Drinks are flowing. Everybody's having a good time. And you get the impression, like Belshazzar, like he says, you know, I need to kind of step it up. I need to bring the next level to this party. What can I do to really show off how great this kingdom is? And he goes, well, what better to do than to bring some of the spoils of previous wars? Right? And what better spoils do we have? What greater thing do we have to show our greatness than what we took out of the temple when his grandfather sacked Judah? Right? So he sends his servants out to bring all of the gold and silver things that were taken out of the temple when the temple was taken. And he brings them in and he uses the implements that were created, that were built, made to praise the God of heaven, the Most High. He uses those things to praise and worship the most base, the most basic things that Creator created. We see that explained to us, I guess. We're told that in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, right? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, rather than the Creator. And we know that Belshazzar knew about the Creator because of what Daniel says in a few verses later, right? So as soon as they do this, I mean, the scripture says immediately, as soon as they do this, the Most High shows them in an undeniable, miraculous way who he is. Belshazzar is drinking, they're praising these gods of gold and silver and stone and wood, and a human hand, and we don't really know what that looked like, but my assumption is they see something from the wrist up, right, just kind of shows up there and is writing on the wall across from them. I think it's kind of awesome and funny that it goes to the detail of saying across from the lampstand. You know, it's like we're going to really establish the validity and the accuracy of this thing, right? So he says, he's sitting there. They're praising these gods that are false gods. They're giving glory that should be going to the one true God, to these things that were made by the one true God. And he says, I don't know. I'm not going to put up with this, right? So they see this hand, and Belshazzar has the reaction that all of us probably would and definitely should have when we see a glimpse of the Most High's power. And I don't think I can describe it any better than the Holy Spirit does through Daniel here in verses 5 and 6. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall in the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. And the king's color changed, and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. And I thought about trying to find a clip of a comic, you know, where the knees are, but I decided against that. But you can all imagine, you can all visualize what that would have looked like. So he's so overtaken by fear that his physical body stops working properly. And again, I think that's probably the reaction that all of us should and would have when faced with the power of the Most High. His fear, though, causes him to react like any self-important, self-centered, foolish person would do when they come face to face with the Most High. His fear causes him to try in his own power and his own skill to solve the problem. The king called aloud to bring the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, and the king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." So he sees the power of the Most High and he reacts by trying to solve the situation with his own skill, his own abilities. So the wise men come in, the world comes in, and they fail to give him an answer. And when they fail, Belshazzar's reaction is more fear. Right? His color changes again. I don't know what that looks like. He went from white to green. I don't know. But his color changes again. You see his countenance change because of the fear that's on him. And he and his lords are perplexed about the situation. Thankfully, the Lord had saved someone there who remembered about Daniel, right? So we see the queen mother come in, and in chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, the queen mother comes in and says, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you, nor your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." So Belshazzar calls for Daniel. And I don't know, we're not told where Daniel was during this time. The assumption is that Daniel was still operating in his capacity as whatever, the politician, I guess. We don't know that, but he wasn't very far away because they get him there, seems like, fairly quickly. But Belshazzar, if he has any knowledge of him, doesn't really think of him when he gets into trouble, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, right? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar gets Daniel in there pretty quick when he has his second dream. So he calls for Daniel. Daniel comes in, and he makes the same offer to him. He tries to bribe him, right? "If you tell me what this says, then I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you purple clothes. I'm going to give you this necklace of gold, and everybody in the kingdom is going to know that you're number three." And Daniel, in his infinite wisdom, and I think my guess is, we don't know this, but my guess is the minute that Daniel walked into that banqueting room, he saw the writing on the wall and he knew exactly what it meant the minute that he first saw it. And so this bribe, we'll call it, this attempt to get Daniel to tell him what it means is kind of worthless because Daniel already knows probably what it says, right? He knows that the kingdom isn't Belshazzar's kingdom as of fairly quickly, right? So it's a vain promise. It's similar to when Jesus is tempted and Satan says, "Look at all of this. I will give you all of this." Well, it's kind of a vain promise. It wasn't. Yeah, it's not. It's already, exactly, it's already mine, right? You don't really own it. You don't have the authority to give it to me to begin with. And it's a similar situation, right? So Daniel says, "You know what? Keep your stuff. I don't care about your gifts. I don't want to be the third ruler in your kingdom. It's not even going to be your kingdom by the end of the night, right? But in the interest of you knowing what the Most High says, I'm going to go ahead and read this and interpret it for you." And so similarly to what God did with Nebuchadnezzar earlier in chapter 2, the God of heaven, the Most High, is revealing to man what will be. And so Daniel takes the opportunity to not only interpret, but to lay this foundation for Belshazzar, of why this is happening to him. And so he goes back and gives him a history lesson that we find out Belshazzar already knew. But he says, "O king, the Most High gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of his greatness, because of the greatness that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like the mind of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will." So Daniel gives him this fairly quick, concise story of what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. And then he says, "You, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron and wood and stone, which do not see or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all of your ways, you have not honored." The result of not honoring the God in whose hand was his breath is meaning. God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you personally have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, for those of you who didn't notice, my wife and kids are out of town, so I sent this to her to proofread for me. And she sent it back and she said, "I think you're using different versions of the Bible. You got some words confused." When you read it, it says, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, perez." And then when Daniel interprets, he uses a different word. Meeni, meeni, tekel, and parson, sorry. And then when Daniel interprets, he uses perez. They're not different. It's a plural and a singular. Okay, it means divided. Both of them mean divided. The kingdom has been divided. So it's not a different version of the Bible, and it's not a wrong interpretation by Daniel. He uses a singular versus the plural of the same word. That very night, Babylon falls, Belshazzar is killed, and the kingdom passes from the head of gold to the arms and chest of silver, from Babylon to the Medes and the Persians. So the question is, what did Belshazzar learn from this? Or more importantly, what can we learn from this? And there's a lot of things that we can draw from this, but I want to draw three fairly simple, quick conclusions. First of all, there is a Most High, and it's not you. Belshazzar chose to lift himself up against the Lord of heaven and praise the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, and wood, and stone, which do not see, do not hear, do not know, but the God in whose hand was his breath, and who in whose hand were all of his ways, he did not honor. That choice cost Belshazzar his life and his kingdom. Are you living a life as if there is no Most High? Or as if you are the Most High of your life? Don't be like Belshazzar. Don't lose your life because you exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. The second thing we can learn from this is that those who are not his subjects are his enemies. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus himself says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Belshazzar was the enemy of the Most High because he knew the truth but chose to ignore it. If you remember back 2 weeks ago when I was teaching, we talked about some of the things that we had learned about Nebuchadnezzar, his personality, his character, through the first three chapters. And one of those things, one of the points that we brought up was that even though at the time Nebuchadnezzar wasn't saved, when he was faced with the reality of the Most High, he was repentant. Belshazzar was not. What about you? What about me? Are we his subjects or his enemies? Are we standing with him or are we standing against him? Are there areas in your life where you're trying to be the Most High, the King, and he's standing against us, ready and waiting for us to surrender, or not? The third thing we can learn is that the Most High does not tolerate pride. When Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up his spirit and was hardened so that he dealt proudly, the Lord brought him down. When Belshazzar didn't humble himself, he not only lost his kingdom, he lost his life. Is your pride causing you to be lifted up against the Most High? Are there areas in your life where your pride makes it so that the only way that the Most High can gain glory is by your destruction? If you have not accepted the fact that there is a Most High and decided to stand with him and not against him, you need to know and understand that he will not tolerate that pride. He is the Most High who rules in the kingdom of men, and he will be glorified. Don't put yourself in a position where the only way that the Most High can be glorified is by your destruction. Father God, we thank you so much for your precious word again, Lord. We thank you, Father, for men like Daniel, who, in spite of all the circumstances around them, all the difficulties around them, just humbly, faithfully served you. Lord, we ask that you would cause us to have that attitude, cause us to have that spirit, Lord. We don't want to be like Belshazzar. Lord, we don't want to be objects of your praise because of our destruction. We want to be objects of your praise because of your changing in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the way that it doesn't return void to us. In Jesus' name.